Welcome to the Kids Ministry and Leadership Podcast. My name is Andy, and today I'm going to talk about spiritual vibrancy. What an interesting term, just that alone, spiritual vibrancy. It comes out of some research from an organization called One Hope, and you can find the research papers of both Global Youth Culture as well as Family Matters on the ACC Kids website. It's acckids.org.au. You can download both those research papers. But this particular term we're looking at is spiritual vibrancy. What it was talking about is where three elements, and if you would think of three pieces of a puzzle coming together, or in a stool, three legs of a stool that hold up the thinking. And these thoughts, or these three elements, are, number one, when they researched, that trust in an authoritative text. Number two is faith community involvement. Number three, positive family experiences. These are the three elements that bring about spiritual vibrancy. Now, this research was not exclusively Christian. It was just a worldwide research, and it looked into these. So in our context, what would that look like? Well, trust in an authoritative text would mean the Bible. Number two is faith community involvement. We call that the church. And then positive family experiences, obviously, is just as it says there, it's the family. Now, whether you're young or old, and however you're listening, or what context, these three elements really help shape some thinking around how we can strategize to help families engage better, and as the title, bring about spiritual vibrancy. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." This calling is calling us through his word into a family of believers to be able to outwork who we were meant to be in the context of healthy families. As we unpack this today, you'll see these three elements coming together. It's the word of God, it's family, and it's our faith community, which we call church. As I said, it's a funny term, spiritual vibrancy, but I think where we are in the world today is not in a spiritual or a spiritual vibrant world, I guess, or society. I think for me, the reason for that is we're starting to see a deconstruction of the truth in society. We're seeing a disillusionment with our lives, and we're also seeing a detachment from other people. This is actually in complete opposition to the first three points that I read out. So let me unpack them first. The deconstruction of the truth, I would say that we're living right now where many feel the world, or the world feels, that they have a right to create or recreate their version of truth. Judges 21 verse 25 says, "In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit." And you'd all agree it summarizes the world we're living in right now. I'll do it my way, you do it yours. But the worst part is that if my way or my truth is in opposition to your truth, then I'm going to combat your truth. And this is where we start to see people get canceled, or conflict starts to come about. This deconstruction of the truth. What is truth? Who gets to say what truth is? It leads us to a disillusionment with our lives. We're basically walking through life and we're not enjoying it. I read a quote once and it summed this up perfectly. It says, "Never has one culture had so much and enjoyed it so little." Basically, we've blessed ourselves into misery. We've got fridges and houses and aircon and the church environment that we live in right now. We have an iPhone and the devices and the apps of what can be brought about through just the iPhone alone. I mean, it can even make phone calls. When you think about all of what a phone can do, and yet here we are disillusioned with our lives. We have so much, and yet we're enjoying it so little. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 2 says, "Everything is meaningless," says the teacher, "completely meaningless." I think that that's the thought where this disillusionment comes about. You know, it's funny because a lot of people are grumbling or whinging or complaining, becoming disillusioned, but you can't have gratitude and anxiety in your brain at the same time. One of the biggest problems right now is anxiety in the world, but yet to combat that is simply to be thankful for what we've got, to have gratitude in our hearts and minds. But number two, we've got a disillusionment with our lives. And number three It causes a detachment from others. Because we walked away from God's truth, or we're creating our own, and because we filled our life with so much pleasure that we're now dissatisfied, then we walk away and we break away from relationships to try and combat this, to try and work it out, to deconstruct, to think our way into happiness or think our way into a better truth. And this is this detachment from others. Post-COVID, in the last few years, we've seen the effects of what this detachment from others has caused. We've seen friendships, marriages struggle, and this detachment is so damaging. But we know that we need each other. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, "Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." You see, we see in the wild, when you watch any of those animal documentaries, the one that the lion comes and attacks is the one that's usually detached at the back of the pack, not in community, that's a bit maimed, bit hurt, bit wounded, and disillusioned, you would even say, from the pack, and that's who we get attacked. And it's no wonder right now in society, when we have a truth that's being reframed, where we've got this deconstruction of truth, where we have a detachment from others and a disillusion with our lives, that we're seeing people really struggle. I mentioned at the beginning some research that you can access. There's one particular one, the global youth culture. This research was done all across the world with teenagers aged 13 to 18. And across 20 different nations, the research has been conducted. And it started to look at what the culture and the trends are in teenagers. And it started to look at, in particular, in the Christian faith, what that looked like. In Australia, 32% of teenagers identified as Christians. 32% is quite a high percentage of Christians. But when you put 6 marker points around that, you start to see things change a little bit. The 6 marker points are 4 belief systems and 2 actions. The 4 belief systems are believe that God exists and that you can have a personal relationship with him. Believe in Jesus as the Son of God. You believe that forgiveness of sins is only possible through Jesus Christ, and that you believe the Bible is the Word of God. The 2 actions are pray once a week or read scripture on their own once a week. It's a pretty low bar. But when you apply these 6 marker points to the confessing Christian, it actually reduces it down to Australia to 3%. That means we have 29% of teenagers professing to be Christian, nominal, or we would say cultural Christians. In Australia, it's the committed Christians, which is 3%. We see in Asia, 2%, Europe, 2%, North America, 8%, Latin America, 5%, Africa with the highest with 28%. Which has come down from their cultural Christian from 49%. So quite cultural, but yet quite committed also in Africa. But here we are in Australia, 29% of nominal or cultural Christians and only 3% that are committed Christians. What the research went on to show is really what the state of heart of the young people is as well. Over the last 3 months, when the research took place, 74% of teenagers said that they have had loneliness. 60% had high anxiety, and 53% had depression. 1 in 3 teens reported a suicide ideation. This is staggering statistics when we look at this. You've got these cultural or nominal Christians, and you've got non-Christians that make up 97%. But for the 3% of Christians, when we dug a little bit further into that, so they are living out these 4 belief systems, but they're also reading the Bible once a week and praying once a week. What we saw by simply reading the Bible once a week, the power of scripture, it reduced loneliness down 59%, anxiety down 33%, depression down 41%. Now, I'll put an asterisk and a note here, because when I was presenting in a seminar recently, someone asked, do I still believe in professional care? Absolutely. My wife is a counselor. I'm an advocate for professional care. The research was just highlighting the power of the Word of God. And so the power of the Word of God is so important. And so as we look at this three-pronged, or these 3 legs on a stool of having spiritual vibrancy. The first is the power of God. And we see right here how powerful the Word of God really is. We need to be getting this into the hands of young people. We need, as a church, to be looking at ways in which we can do this better. Less than 10% of churches worldwide create resources for families. What we see is that churches have got really good at Sunday. Sunday church is good. Over the last 20 years of being in ministry, I've seen Sunday grow from kids' church or even Sunday school into kids' church into being a vibrant ministry on a Sunday that's valued by all. But what we're starting to see is that a lot of parents would outsource that faith formation out to the parents. Outsource faith formation and expect that the church is doing it for them. And we know that how often families actually do attend church, it probably equates that the church or the kids' ministry's influence, shown by some Orange research, is 40 hours of effective communication across an entire year, as opposed to 3,000 hours of influence that is shown that the parents have. This shows us that we have to partner into the faith of both the church and the family, which leads us to the second two legs on this stool. The second is the church. In 1 Peter 2 verse 5, it reads in the NRSV version, it reads a little bit different. It says, "Let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood." This is the church. In other words, there are what we need to do is be willing to allow Christ to change me, to be built into the house. What does it mean that I'm built into the house? Well, right through scripture, it uses this term cornerstone, us being built into the cornerstone. It says that Christ is the chief cornerstone, and it lays the foundation of what we build on, and what we're building is the church. And then as we allow the word of God, which we just touched on before, to change us, it then starts to change us to become living stones. And so how do I become a living stone? Well, the church is effectively a group of people. It's not a building. The church is us, the believers, coming together. But like this picture of the temple that is being used here in this analogy, it is these stones coming together. And for the stones to come together, they needed to be shaped and formed and the rough edges to be taken off. Well, for us to be fit together in church, for us to fit together as believers, we need to allow those rough edges to come off. This imagery that Peter is giving us is the human version of the temple. And this is where coming into a church community is so important for spiritual vibrancy, because it's where the rough edges get knocked off. It's where people would say, "Hey, don't talk like that. Don't act like that. Hey, this is we're modeling of parenting. We're modeling of life, where language is shaped and formed." I'm not talking about a conformity. I'm talking about us coming together and having those rough edges knocked off in order for us to live a way and live a life that glorifies God. That's what this imagery looks like. I think too often in our individualistic Christian culture, we've been taught that I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit, that that he lives in me, and all I need is myself and Jesus, and I can just take a position that I don't need other Christians. But more often in the scripture than not, it says we, the word, together are the dwelling place. And I think that the presence of God lays where we, the living stones, are knit together. That's why Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst." I think what happens is that we can sometimes believe that this disillusionment or the detachment that I shared on before is okay. Whereas scripturally it's talking about the second leg to this spiritual vibrancy is in fact coming together and being in a vibrant faith place. The third is a positive family experience. Family is so important. And I am acutely aware that family looks different in everyone's context. But creating and having a strong family environment, something that we can help shape and cultivate, is important to us, irrespective of what has been modeled, irrespective of what we're living in right now. It's us putting a line in the sand and taking a moment. What does a positive family experience look like? Again, in the Family Matters research that came out and the Global Youth Culture research, it showed when it came to praying in the home, 55% of people never are praying at home. In fact, only 22% are praying weekly. The other percentage is monthly or several times a month or very nominally. But there we've got 78% of people not praying regularly. When it comes to attending religious services, 60% never attend those that were surveyed. And there's only 17% that attend weekly. Only 17% coming into that that second point that I made, which is the faith community. But here we are at home, if we get to these ones, reading religious scripts or texts on our own or having spiritual conversations in the home. These are even more staggering. Reading texts, 71% of people never read the Bible alone at home on their own. In fact, only 10% do. And so we're taking and we're bringing these three pieces of the puzzle together, these three stools. You remove one and the it's going to fall over, but only 10% reading scripture, and we see how important it is. And modeling this as a positive home environment is not taking place. And having spiritual conversations reduces down, only 56% aren't, and only 19% are trying to have and shape the conversations in the home. 81% of people aren't having positive conversations in the home. And yet the home is the place in which we see this really magnify when you're adding the word of God and having a faith community. It outworks. It's where we spend our time. It's where we shape our kids the most. And so it's so important. So how do we bring all these three parts of the puzzles together? The truth is, in each of these aspects in isolation, it's good. I would use an imagery or a picture of a band playing together. If it was just the drummer, it sounds great, but it gets a little bit repetitive. You start to add the bass guitar and it starts to get a bit of rhythm, and you start to add the keys or the electric guitar, and that's when a song is formed. You think of an orchestra, one bit playing in isolation may sound good, but when it all comes together, it's knit together. The Bible is good, and you can read that anywhere. Agreed. The church community is good, and you can enjoy that without the word of God and without it really changing our life. It's true. It brings about relationship, but in isolation and not in its truest sense, it's not bringing out the best. The third is we can have great family, but detached from church and detached from the word of God. I'm saying that we can build out something a whole lot more positive in our family as we bring these together. So if we go back to these three pieces of the puzzle, or the three legs on the stool as the picture, really it's the Bible as an authoritative text, bringing healthy patterns to outwork in our home, and then we come together as a church family to enhance, support, and encourage one another. And we really start to see breakthrough. We really start to see purpose, and our lives are living out. The truth is formed. We're not disillusioned, and we're not being detached. Let me close again with that verse out of 1 Peter 2 verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into a wonderful light," into spiritual vibrancy as we live out his word in relationship with others, emphasizing this in our home. Well, thanks again for joining us for the podcast this month. Again, you can find that research at acckids.org.au and download those two research papers, The Global Youth Culture and Family Matters. I look forward to having you with us next month.